Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's just lift our hands and give the Lord a great shout of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you something. If you can't preach after that, you can't preach. I'll tell you guys, it's something else. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll give the Lord another praise for Brother Cruz, Brother Butler, and all the whole group over here. Praise God. I think it's marvelous. Amen. Join with me in prayer, if you would, right now. Father, we come before you in the name that is above every name that is named, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you, we praise you, and bless you tonight. Now, before I pray this right now, I listen carefully, because it's important that you set yourself in agreement with this prayer. And release your faith. Put your faith on it. Father, we open the ears of our heart tonight to hear from heaven answers, things that settle things in our spirit and in our mind. And we listen to the mighty Holy Spirit. In fact, we put ourselves into His hands, the great teacher, to lead us tonight, to guide us tonight. And every service in this faith convention, every moment of it, a moment of truth, a moment of questions answered and visions captured and insight and concept and ideas that come from heaven. Glory to God. We release our faith right now, and we draw upon every person that you send into this convention to minister to us. Now listen, that doesn't just mean whomever is behind this sacred desk. It may be someone in the hallway. If God ministers to you to say an encouraging word or just smile at someone, that smile may be the biggest thing that's happened to that person up to that point. This is going to be a house of ministry all during this entire meeting like never before in its history. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, things are going to change this week. Things are going to change this week. Say it with me. Things are going to change this week, beginning right now. It started this morning. It's going on right now. And it'll work in me 24 hours a day for the rest of my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Before you're seated now, listen, this is important. This is not just some little something you just do. This is important. Before you're seated, I want you to declare with your mouth that the Word is working in you now. Now you shake hands with at least three people and you say the same thing. The Word is working in me now. The Word is working in me now. And you may be seated. The Word is working in me now. Now, the Word of the Lord came to me earlier this evening, and so, I mean, this is just the way it works. God gets on me, I get on you. I mean, that's that's what I'm for. That's what I live for. That's why I exist. You remember from the Word of God, when Esau came in from the field and he was hungry, and he said, give me some of that stew. I got to have some of that. You know, he kind of a growly kind of a guy. And so Jacob just said, I'll give you some if you give me your birthright. Why, he said, I'm about to starve right now. What good's that birthright to me? Sit down, give me that. Now, the scripture says that Esau despised the blessing. Now, we have a different idea about the word despise. But the word translated despise all through the scripture literally means to think small about. It's not important. Well, you can see that's what he said. Yeah, it ain't important. Give me a bowl of that stew. Now, the word also says that those that despise the word can come into a place where there is no remedy, no healing. Now, you are a word taught, Word of God, faith built, high expectancy congregation. That's why you came here. That's why somebody came from Japan. That's why somebody came from Ethiopia. Now, I want to tell you how the Spirit of God was leading Pastor this morning when he gave both of those gentlemen a book. All right. You want to know?
Yes.
See, if you go eastbound from here, then you go by Ethiopia and you come to Japan. But if you go westbound, you go by Japan, and you wind up in Ethiopia. Amen. So the Lord said, give them both a book. Because they both come from further than the other one. And I didn't measure it if you go from here over the top. So I don't know, but that's another thing. The point is this. You're becoming spiritual adults. Scripture tells us to grow up into Him in all things. How do you do that? Well, you have to put the Word of God first place in your life. But the Scripture says, speaking the truth to one another in love. Amen. There's got to be a place where your mouth will not speak anything but the Word.
Amen.
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 How you react and how you respond. You speak the truth to one another in love. Well, what am I supposed to do if they fire me? Speak the truth in love.
Right.
What am I supposed to do if they give me a bad report on my, you know? You're supposed to speak the truth in love. The 112th Psalm, the protocol, the profile of a prosperous believer. Blessed is the man who delights greatly in the Word of God. His house, his seed is mighty on earth, and his house is filled with wealth and riches, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, here's a man with a house, wealth, riches, and his righteousness is intact. And his seed is mighty on the earth. Now, that's not a spiritual baby. And you read on down through that chapter. You need to study that chapter. It needs to be so real to you. It needs to just get in your mouth and just stay there. You need to be calling yourself that. Go down each verse and receive that. That's me. That's me. That's me. This is what I am. This is what I do. And right in the center of that chapter, it says, he... Now, remember, this is the man that delights greatly in the Word. Come on. He doesn't take it lightly. It's the most important thing in his life. Right. Right. Not his money, not his house, not his riches, but the Word. And it says, he is not afraid of evil tidings. You tell him he's fired, doesn't even faze him. You put a bad report out on him, doesn't even faze him. Well, yeah, but Brother Copeland, he's rich and got a big house. No, the rich and big house didn't come first. The not being afraid of evil tidings came first. The righteousness that endures forever came first. That's what filled up his house. Amen. Now, in order to be this way, it says his heart is fixed, his heart is established, trusting in the Lord. He trusts in God. I don't care what you tell him, he trusts in God. You fire him, he trusts in God.
That's right.
Amen. You call him dirty names, he trusts in God. He'll just smile like he didn't even hear you, and you think, that fool is crazy. Didn't he hear what I called him? You remember what Gloria is talking about this morning in the love list? That's the way you become the man in the 112th Psalm. Now, the reason I said all that to you is because from this point on, you're going to have to get your touchiness out of the way, because God is sending people in here to build you up and make an elite core out of you. And if you're still touchy and you don't like people to correct you and all that, you're just going to get weeded out. You'll get to where you can't stand this church.
That's right.
Amen. Because sometimes you got to talk real straight. And the reason I'm saying this is because tonight I'm going to talk real straight to you. But now, the word of the Lord came to me earlier this evening and said, for me to say to you, don't get caught despising the Word this week. Well, yeah, but Brother Copeland, I got a Little League game. Well, you gonna trade the blessing for a Little League game? God has appointed men and women to be in this place to minister to you 24 hours a day while you're in service, while you're between services. I mean, He has sent an elite corps in here to minister the Word of God to you. And what we do with God's Word is not optional. You stand up there before the Lord and he says, look, I told you to put $1 million into such and such. You what? I ain't got no $1 million. He don't even hear that. He said you did.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do it?
Yeah.
I ain't got no $1 million. Why didn't you? I don't know. People hold me back. It can't nobody hold you back but you. The devil can't. He's defeated. Other people can't do it because all you got to do is forgive them and go on about your business. The devil cannot hold you back. Other people cannot hold you back. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, that's easy for your pretty white self to say. Well, now, just, I beg your pardon just for a minute here. You can get into more churches than I can. When's the last time they wrote three or four ugly books about you? When's the last time the United States Senate jumped on you? Huh? So don't come at me with that. No, no. It's not color holding anybody back. It's not education holding anybody back. It's not background holding anybody back. It's not talent holding anybody back. It's what you do with the word that'll hold you back. And here God has set up something in Chicago, Illinois this week that's bigger than the Olympics. It's bigger than the Super Bowl. It's bigger than the World Series. I want you to know it is the biggest thing God has, His anointed word. Now, it's up to you what you do with it. But if you despise it, even though it was up to you to make the choice, it is not optional. Now, tonight, we're going to spend some time in this area. And what the Lord has instructed me to share with you tonight will really help you in this area. There's going to be a lot of questions answered tonight. And ain't nobody will even have to tell you what the answer is. I mean, you'll just hear it in your own life and in the way that you conduct your life. So, are you ready?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to the book of John. John's Gospel. And we'll begin in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, sir. We thank you so much. Verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And I'll remind you that that's the same thing he said to the wind and the sea. In other words, he had to calm them down. They were filled with fear and he had to calm them down. Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Read that with me. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now, let's turn over to the third chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. Now, this is in the place where Peter was preaching after he and John went up together at the ninth hour and the man at the beautiful gate was healed. And he began to minister then to those people there. And he talked about them repenting and so forth, your sins that your sins may be blotted out in verse 19. And then he comes on down in verse 21, the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things and so forth and so on. And he's preaching this message. Now, remember what Jesus said. Say it to me. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Well, let's find out how the Father sent him.
Amen.
Huh? If we're coming under the same calling, if we're coming under the same banner, we need to know what it is.
Amen.
And there's been a lot of things. Let me. Well, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. Thank you, Lord. Verse 24. All the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. In other words, he's saying every prophet that ever said anything was talking about this. In fact, you can back up there in that 23rd verse. It'll come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham. Now, this is the covenant that God made with their fathers. In your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Shall all the families of the earth be blessed in you. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. Well, Brother Copeland, I thought he sent him to go to the cross. He did. I thought he sent him to seek and save the lost. He did. I thought he came to heal the sick. He did. I thought he came to break the curse and poverty and all that. He did. All of that is the blessing. Now, you've been hearing a lot about it around here. You're going to hear a whole lot more about it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't even qualify for revelation of the blessing and the huge outpourings that are involved in it. You and I don't even qualify without being born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, with revelation of the gifts of the Spirit. All of these things that God had to restore to the church before he ever got down to teaching anybody about the blessing. Except maybe Gloria and I found out about it 41 years ago. And we're just now finding out about it. Amen. Why? Because you don't give a loaded gun to a four-year-old.
That's right. That's right.
You don't do that.
Yes.
You can't put a 25-year-old head on a 12-year-old body. Have to be taught. There's certain things you have to learn in order to be responsible for these kind of things.
Yes, yes.
And you will never, ever come to that place where pastor has been preaching and teaching and talking to you about all these years. You will never come to that enormous breakthrough until these things are no longer lightweight to you. and make it just real plain, you're just going to have to get serious about this. Now listen to what Jesus said. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Now turn over with me to the book of Luke. Now I want you to remember, turn to the 24th chapter of Luke. Now keep in mind that when God released the blessing in the Garden of Eden, that was His perfect will for all men for all time. Amen. It's the first thing any human ear ever heard. First thing He said to a living man was, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, or fill it up, subdue it, and have dominion over it. First thing He ever said. And then we know what Adam did with it. Well, then what did He say to Noah and his sons? Exactly the same words. Exactly the same words. Noah had a covenant with God. Exactly the same words. Now, you find all the way down through the times that the more you study it and the more you understand about the blessing and its enormity. I mean, we're talking about needs being met according to His riches in glory. We are talking about taking command authority over time itself. We are talking about walking in a place in past generations very, very few ever walk. We are the chosen generation. We get to walk in it in great outpouring and strength and power. But being chosen doesn't come cheap.
Come on.
Do you hear what I said? Being chosen doesn't come cheap. No. You know, let's read this here in Luke 24 so that you understand. Now, you remember what Jesus said? He said, I only say those things which my Father taught me. I only say those things which I hear Him say. Or in other words, if He didn't say them first, I don't say them. Well, that'd be the word, wouldn't it?
Right.
And He said, I only do those things that I first see Him do. Well, does it take you long to figure out then what would be the most important thing on Jesus' mind? It must be the most important thing to God. What was the most important thing to God? The blessing. All of this Bible, the more you read it, the more you study it, the more you understand. The Bible would be only three chapters long if Adam had kept his head. And all the rest of the whole Bible would have been, ooh, blessing this and blessing that and blessing this and blessing that. Oh, look at this blessing. Yeah. The Scripture said, and God took heavenly seed and planted a garden east of Eden before there was any man to toil it, and He made those seed grow. God made them grow. He made those seed grow. Now, do you have any, could you even make yourself think that if God took a heavenly seed and He put it on ground that He created and then He made it grow, that over a period of years then that seed would have gotten worse instead of better? How dumb is that? That's the answer to the question. I finally figured it out. How dumb can you get? That'd just be outright ignoramus to even think that, wouldn't it? Well, we know that's true. We know it from reading the Bible. We know what the principles are. We're learning these things. In God's heart, in God's mind, in God's plan, the Garden of Eden, in His heart and in His mind and in His plan, should have been the worst time in man's history. It should have gotten better from there. Oh, Brother Copeland, now,
wait a minute before you jump on me. Let me give you a little scripture here.
Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has in store for them that love Him, for His man. It was far beyond anything man could conceive. He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within you. Hallelujah. In God's idea, in God's mind, I mean, that Garden of Eden thing, that was just the kickoff. I mean, it ought to have gotten better every day from then on. Hallelujah. But as it is, the entire Bible, from the moment Adam fell, is the story of God getting that blessing back on mankind where He designed it to be in the first place. And He never changes His mind. He never changes His will. He never changes His thinking. He never changes, period. It's still exceeding abundantly beyond all you can ask or think. God made every man wealthy beyond his wildest dreams before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Now then, with that in your mind, you can understand the last chapter of the book of Luke. If you don't have that in mind, you cannot. Notice this now. Look with me. At verse 50, He led them out. Now, this is the ascension. This is the moment of His ascending. He's leaving the earth. He's been glorified. He's finished the job here. He finished up that 6 weeks after He was raised up and glorified. And now they're going to watch Him ascend. But now watch this. He led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up His hands and He blessed them.
Amen.
Oh, but that ain't quite the good part. He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with joy. Well, now that's all fine and good, and praise God for that. But go back to the 51st verse. It came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried into heaven. It didn't say that He was just parted from them or that He was carried into heaven. Now, what is so significant about this? This is the biggest thing God ever said to a human. And He sent Jesus to carry it out. He sent Him to bless you. Amen.
Amen.
So now, what is so earth-shaking about this? First of all, we know what He said. Sure we do. He said, I only say what you say. So what was He saying to them? Be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth. Subdue it and have dominion over it in My name. Huh? Isn't that go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Sure it is. But we know exactly what He was saying. Now here's just big as heaven itself. While He was saying that, listen to me. While He was saying that. No, you didn't get it. While He was saying that. It's going to creep up in you, your revelation here in a minute. While he was saying that, he was carried away. By what? By the power of what he was saying.
Amen.
That means he left this earth. He finished his earthly walk speaking that blessing. Now, it hadn't been but hours. He said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. This is what was happening. He was sending them. He was anointing them. He was blessing them with the very Eden blessing, the very Eden contract, the heavenly garden of God, and the power and authority to create it was coming out his mouth. That's what he was saying when he left the earth, and that's what he was saying when he went through the gates of heaven. Somebody ought to shout amen. I'm telling you, that's heavenly information. Praise God. Amen. All right, now. Now we know why we're here. That's who we are. That's what we are. He's the blessing, so we're the blessing. Now, turn with me to, first of all, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians 1. The Apostle Paul prayed this prayer for the church at Ephesus. And in the 16th verse, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, now he prayed that, you ought to receive it. If it'll work in Ephesus, it'll work in Chicago or Fort Worth or any place else. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, far above every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And I will remind you that the Word of God says right here in this book of Ephesians, praise God, that we have been raised up together, made to sit together with him, and the whole family, both in heaven and in earth, is named after him. Do we have his name? Do we have his spirit? Do we have his word? Do we have his... What is there that he has that we don't have? Nothing. We even get resurrected. We get glorified. Now, this is not just so you can come to church and run around the building. Because if all you do is come to church and run around the building, it'll play out. It won't be anything but a run around the building. And finally, somebody will get fussy about you running in the wrong direction.
That's right.
Now, far above principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that to come. Now, look at these, this 22nd and 23rd verse. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness. He's not full without us. Now look at that. The fullness of him that fulfills all things. He cannot fulfill all things without you.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Now, Brother Copeland, I didn't write that. Yes. Amen. That's Bible. That is Bible truth. He is the filler. Fourth chapter in this same book makes that statement. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. But but it also says in the next phrase, and compacted or held together by the work of every joint. We got a joint ain't working, it's not working right. Amen. Let me remind you of something right here. This ought to put a fire under you. It will before we get through tonight. You remember Jesus talked about the sower soweth the word. And he talked about these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And so forth and so on. When you look at that, you realize that 100% of them all heard the word. And 100% of them heard it with gladness. And 100% of them, the word did its job and went in their heart. But 75% of them lost it. 75%. 25%. Now, remember what is said about the word there? When the word gets choked, it becomes unfruitful. What is that referring to? Be fruitful and multiply. It stops multiplying. It stops being fruitful. In other words, it stops the blessing. Satan can't stop the blessing. You have to let that stuff enter in. You have to have no root in yourself, so you just last for a little while. Amen. No, he can't stop you. He can't steal the word. You literally have to give it to him.
Come on now.
Well, I made up my mind a long time ago that I'm not giving it to him. I don't care. I don't care what happens. Just I'm not giving him something he hadn't got coming, and he hadn't got anything coming out of me, except a bad time. Now, but here's my point. Now, listen to this. I'm telling you, you need to let this get down into your conscience. This ought to become a part of your conscience, where that this begins to bother your conscience. It begins to bother you that this is happening to the point where you make some concrete, firm decisions. I'm not letting this happen anymore. Amen. Why? Well, 25% of that group were paying all the bills for 75% that let the word go.
My Lord.
They're paying all the bills. They're the one with the increase. They're the one with 30, 60, and 100 vote. They're paying all the bills. They're the bunch of broke.
Come on now.
Sitting by the wayside, crying, squalling, bawling, why did this happen to me? Well, now you have to understand the sower that did the sowing sowed in faith. It's obvious he was not an irresponsible sower. He didn't just go up there and just throw that bunch of seed out there and just say, well, that ground ain't no good, but I'm going to throw the seed out there anyway. Now, there are people that do that because you never do pray about your sowing. You're led by your emotions, and whoever cries and squalls the loudest, that's where you send your money.
And if it gets the least bit hot on you around here, well, dear God, I ain't giving them no money. After all, look at that pastor flying a jet. Well, are you riding a bus?
Come on now.
Why don't you ride a bus? That's what an airliner is, a flying bus. Why don't you sell your car and give the money and ride the bus? Because you can't get to work on time riding a bus.
That's right. That's right. Good point.
Now, if you're riding the bus and you are late for work, whoo, there's good news, sweetheart. You don't have to ride the bus no more. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
But you weren't riding the bus because you're so humble. Well, after all, Brother Copeland, Jesus came to town on a donkey. Let me see you go from here to South Africa on a donkey. And that's the reason Pastor has an airplane. That's the reason I have an airplane, because God blessed us with these things so we can get to work on time. Doesn't have anything to do with luxury and that kind of thing. I enjoy it. It is nice. Praise the Lord. Because when He gave it to us, He gave us the best there was. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but we didn't get it because of the luxury. Amen. Now, let's go on with this. Let me say it to you again. That needs to become part of your conscience. I don't want somebody paying my bills in the body of Christ. And it is a worldwide phenomenon. In fact, we're really being kind by saying that 25% of paying the bills, because it's less than that. Most of the body of Christ is broke and poor. Well, Brother Copeland, they can't do anything. It's because they're poor. It's not because they're poor financially. It's because they're poor spiritually.
Wow. Praise.
Amen.
Praise.
I got real tickled at Oyedepo. They interviewed him when you and I were down there, you know. And you know what a kind man he is. And he said, people think that the prosperity message is an American message. No, he said, Jesus wasn't born in America. No, this thing came from heaven.
Yes, come on. Yes, it did.
Now then, let's take this another step further. Remember now, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. So now can we make this statement? I'm going to back it up with more scripture. But I believe now you can see where you not only need Jesus, He needs you.
Yes.
He needs you in faith.
Yes.
He needs you to walk in love. Why? So He can fulfill His mission. Amen.
Amen.
He needs you. He needs you to live 120 years on this earth by faith.
Yes.
See, that's the reason He said, and man's days shall be 120 on the earth. Why? He needed you to live that long.
Amen.
He needs that message that long. And actually, when you think about it, how many people are walking around out there that have lived to be 120 years old by faith? Very few, if any. Amen. Now, well, Brother Copeland, what is it that He needs me to be here this long? It takes that long to teach you anything. Amen. Well, Brother Copeland, what is it could possibly take 120 years? How are we ever going to know unless somebody lives 120 years and finds out? Well, I'm quick to confess that I'm just middle-aged. Praise God. Oh, yes, amen. Now we laugh about these things, but I am very, very committed to what I just said. He needs us here that long, and he wouldn't have said so. Amen. He wasn't just going to leave you here that long so you can find out what's going to happen 100 years from now. He already knew what was going to happen 100 years from now. He didn't need you to live a long time so you could tell him. He needs us in this earth preaching the gospel with the age and the wisdom and the witness of Moses that was 120 years old. His eye was not dim. His body and his physical shape was not diminished. He was younger at 120 than he was at 40, and he was younger than 120 than he was at 80. Amen. Hallelujah. He needs this. Personally, I don't care nothing about staying here no 120 years. This place is a cesspool. The Apostle Paul said, to die is great gain, and to be with Christ is far better. The very next word that he said, now you remember he said, I'm stretched between two things here. I believe he got the answer when he was writing that letter. I think he got it right then. He said, to die is great gain, and to be with Jesus is far better, but you need me. You need me. And Jesus needs me because you need me. Didn't he say that? You need me? Well, it wasn't just them that needed it. Jesus needed that church to be taught. Jesus needed that church to grow up. Jesus needed that church to walk in the blessing. Why? Because they were in a place that was not blessed. God called you to be somewhere. He didn't call you to go over there just because it'd be better on you. Most of the time when you get there, it's not better. Why? It needs the blessing, and you have it.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes. It needs the blessing, and you have it.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
How do you think this world must have looked to him? Oh, man. How terrible. Why did he come? His father sent him. Why did his father send him? Because this place needed to be blessed.
That's right.
Amen. 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 And I am through allowing somebody else to pull my part and to pay my way. No, Jesus needs me blessed. He needs me rich. He needs me healthy. And he needs me strong. Praise God. Amen. So now you begin, now instead of working for a living, now you're on assignment, praise God. What do you do for a living? You do faith for a living. That's what you do. The just shall live by faith. Though that Babylonian system out there says, I have to make a living. I have to make deals. I make my way in the world. I'm a self-made man. I don't doubt that. God sure didn't have nothing to do with it. But the scripture says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh. It maketh. It maketh. Now the man that is just hungry to get rich, the man that desires to get rich, he's pushed to get rich, he thinks he has to be rich to be blessed. And that is a dangerous place to be, and it will pierce him through. It will eventually kill him, because the love desire for money is the root of every evil work. It is the heart of the Babylonian system, and it's designed to kill you. Amen? So, No. You're not blessed because you're rich. You're rich because you're blessed.
Amen.
See, when you put the blessing first, you put God first, you put His Word first.
Yes.
I mean, the sky ain't the limit. The sky is the result. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You're not blessed because you're healed and don't hurt anymore. No, you're healed and don't hurt anymore because of the blessing. Because you're blessed. The blessing of Abraham is yours because Jesus went to that cross. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I'm part of the 25%. I'm a helper. I am not a detriment. The body of Christ will increase because of me. Not decrease because of my lack of faith. That's good. I'm glad you said that. Now, let's take a look at this from some other scriptures here. Let's look at, oh, Lord, yeah, I'm going to, can I read that first, please? Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. The one I was wanting to read first, but I'll get there. I have to do it the way he says do it. Hebrews chapter 5. Now I want you to notice something here. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now you notice that's not a period after the word him. That's not the end of the sentence. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called. He became the author. He became the author called. Say that. He became the author called. So there's a calling on his life. Called of God, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. What did Melchizedek do? Melchizedek received Abram's tithe and he blessed him. Who was Melchizedek? Now, you know these things are types and shadows of where we are with Jesus. Amen? Now, who was Melchizedek? All right. God said, and we read it there in the book of Acts, and then we can find it over in the third chapter of the book of Galatians. Well, and the eighth verse said, God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Now, he said that's the gospel. Well, there again, I thought salvation was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. Well, how does it fit in there? Well, the blessing was released in order to not only perpetuate, but to expand the Garden of Eden in all of its glory until the whole earth was filled with it. Amen. So that's what the blessing does. Well, let me ask you something. Was there any death in the Garden of Eden? Not until Adam sinned. So the new birth is part of the blessing, man, to get the death out. Was there any sickness in the Garden of Eden? No, not until Adam sinned. So the healing ministry of Jesus is part of the blessing to get that sickness and disease out of there. Is death under the curse? Yes, it is. Is sickness under the curse? Yes, it is. Is poverty under the curse? Yes, it is. Christ has redeemed us from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, might come on the nations. Now, of whom is he speaking? He blessed Noah and his sons. So not just Noah, but his sons also. They were there. That blessing was on them. And the rainbow covenant, which represented the Eden covenant, was released. Said exactly the same words now that he said to Adam. Be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth. Have dominion over it, subdue it. That was Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So those four people on this planet had the blessing of Eden. Now, Shem stayed with it, and Ham and Japheth did not. So now, Shem was in the earth. Shem was not the seed of Abraham, was he? No, he was Abraham's grandfather. Or great-grandfather, I think. Anyway, Abraham was his seed. Now, the word Melchizedek means Lord Mayor or Governor. It also means King. It means high authority. Melchizedek was the Lord Mayor or high authority in Jerusalem. He was also the high priest of God, and his name was Shem. So now, what do we have here? Huh? We have here the man that kept the blessing, the man that walked before God upright. We have this man receiving Abraham's tithe and passing and declaring the blessing over on him. Because at that point, God had only said, I will bless you. Right. Now, just God promising him to bless him made him rich. But when he came to Melchizedek is when he found out he was heir of the world. And then that was the base for the covenant of blood. Now, can you see what Jesus, who he is and what he is? He's the high priest called of God after the order of Melchizedek. And you're right there in the book of Hebrews. Come right on over there to the 20th verse of the 6th chapter. The forerunner for us is entered even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And then you come down in the 6th and 7th verses, and it says he received the tithes of Abraham, and he blessed him. Now, verse 8, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Other translation says it is witnessed of him that he liveth forever. So now Jesus has been given orders by God. What are those orders? To get this blessing back on the Gentiles, right? The nation. That's only two men, Ham and Japheth. There was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You got to be kin to one of them. And most of us here in this country kin to all three of them. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. So when God preached the gospel to Abraham saying, in you shall Ham and Japheth get the blessing back. Can you see his purpose? Then it goes ahead to say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us. Oh, that's shouting ground. Glory, my Lord God, glory to God. Now, look back over there again at that 10th verse of the 5th chapter, called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now back up to the 3rd chapter, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers or partner if someone came up and said Sister Copeland, has God called you to preach? Yeah. well, I don't understand how this works. Did you know you was called to preach? No. Well, I've heard Brother Copeland say he knew it from the time he was a little boy and ran from God. Yeah, that's true. She's a partaker of my calling. God put us together for that purpose. Well, certainly she's called. She's called before the foundation of the world. But we call to the same thing. We are called to be one together. We are called to walk in this. She is a partaker of my calling. I am a partaker of her calling. You see her, you get me. Huh? Now, was Peter partaker of Jesus' calling? Don't you remember now what he said about Judas after Judas killed himself? And he said there needs to be somebody else brought in here because after all, that man had his part of this ministry. It didn't say that man had his ministry from God. No, no. This is not my ministry. This is not Bill Winston's ministry. Now, I'm responsible. He's responsible. But this actually, I have a part of the ministry of Jesus. I am part of his body. Bill Winston is responsible for a part of Jesus' ministry. Now, when we team up and we come together, we get our parts together, now we're working together. Now we're compacting. Now we're compacting. Now we're compacting. Are you hearing me? But the big thing is, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Bill, I'm not going to have somebody else having to take up my slack. That bothers me, man. I don't like that anymore. And I found out Jesus needs me. He needs me to be what I'm supposed to be. I am a partaker of his calling.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. That's the reason. Never, ever in 41 years of ministry, because Gloria and I took communion over three things the day we entered into this ministry full time. But God is my witness, if we violated it, it's because we are ignorant and stupid. And right up at the top of the list, I'll never ask anybody for a place to preach. Reckon I could come over at your church and, you know, I got a couple of days open next week. I'm not calling him trying to help his church. I'm calling him because I preach for a living. Amen. 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 Brother Copeland, what's wrong with that? Everybody got to make a living. There you go, Babylonian. The second thing was that I would never, ever ask anybody to meet my needs. And I wasn't even going to receive offerings. I told the Lord in all glory and I can set ourselves in agreement, I ain't doing that because I don't like religious con artists. He said, no, now you're out of line with that. He said, offerings are in my word and you need to study my word, but don't you ever put pressure on anybody for an offering. And don't you ever ask anybody to meet your needs. I meet your needs. I am your provider. And the third one was, I will never, ever preach anywhere based on a financial arrangement.
Amen.
I don't ever ask anybody. In fact, I had one man that had asked me two or three times to come to his church, and every time I prayed about it, the Lord said, no, don't go yet. So I'd tell him, no. Well, he just stayed after me. And he came in one time, he said, I was preaching for someone else, and he came over to the service, and they were putting some TV stuff on my face. And he walked in there. He said, Copeland, why don't you got to come to my church. Now, he said, I'll tell you what, I promise you I'll get you the biggest offering you have ever had anywhere you've ever preached. I said, now, you have just cut me off. I cannot come to your church. Because every time I start to come, that'll come up in my thinking. So I'm not coming. What? I said, no, sir, I am not coming.